World fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I sure enjoy all of it. Not enjoy, that's not the right word. Sure appreciate y'all getting up every morning and doing this with me. Sometimes people ask me how many people are watching. You know, I really don't know. Like right now, there are 96 people who are actively in the queue. That doesn't tell us how many are watching. I mean, I go places all the time and I can't believe people are watching it. And it has become really a fellowship. You know, I've been fighting against that long time, but it really and truly is a fellowship. I would say this. I know some of you in the queue better than most people I went to church with my whole life. You guys know what I'm talking about? Those people that you'd go to church see every Sunday and you didn't really know anything at all about them. Really didn't. You had no fellowship with them. No real deep. Good morning. Praise the Lord, brother. Good to see you, brother. Nice to see you. Hey, good to see you, sister Emma. And that was about as deep as it went. Now, maybe you had a little, they try to call them what? They call them home groups now or whatever. My daughters, they do some. Well, they try to get you together and fellowship with each other. And I never understood why that little home group wasn't the church. Why'd you have to go to church then if you had a little home group there, right? So I appreciate all of you being part of this little home group here. And but you're giving a lot of real direction to my life. And I also want to say this. And anyone who's watched our show here, whatever we call this thing, for any length of time, knows this. I've never, ever claimed to be a theologian. Ever. In fact, I am ashamed sometimes of the things I don't know. Biblical, scriptural, I don't know. There's a lot of them I don't know a whole lot about. And so I don't want you ever to come here and look at me as the expert, because I'm not. But what I am an expert at is cutting off a piece of steak and throwing it on the table and letting us chew on it without getting mad at each other. I think I'm pretty good at that. And I think that, as the Bible tells us, in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. And I also believe there's a lot of you have been taught something by your denomination, and therefore you believe it to be true, and it's not all true. It just isn't. And the reason we have denominations is because we don't believe Bible. People say, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. And that's not true. That's just not true, because the Bible says it and you don't even know it says it in some situations. The Bible says it and you believe it, but that isn't what the Bible says because it's taken out of context. And you're not really allowed to question the guy that stands in the pulpit. And you got to, you know, whatever he teaches you, that's what it is. And unfortunately, the whole idea of going to church and being taught every Sunday at church has made us lazy because we fail to do the research on our own. When you just do a little bit of research on your own, your eyes get opened to exactly what's going on. I'm going someplace this morning. Stay with me, okay? Stay with me. Real quickly, throw up what? Well, first of all, I'm on Brighteon TV today at 11 with Matt Truella is going to join me. It's going to be a lively show. If you guys want to catch at it at 11 o'clock, I sure would appreciate that. Went to Jeff Klein's, had his event in Mount Vernon yesterday. It was unbelievably cool. It's just cold. I mean, it's only 30, probably snowy, breezy. Man, I wasn't used to it. I got frozen. I salute Jeff for doing what, pulling that whole thing together. And there were, I don't know, there might have been 50 of us there, I suppose. Some great Neil Peterson, we'll have him on the show, and Mark Paquita. We had some really, really good speakers. A lot, really, really good speakers. Doc Jen, a different Doc Jen out of Mount Vernon. So praise God to Jeff. I pat Jeff Klein on the back again for his efforts of evangelism, and he's a keeper, man. He doesn't back up, and he doesn't give in. This is not really that big a deal. We the People event this Thursday, folks. I'm going to be in the Canton area, Mulligan's Pub. This is a Wednesday. The 18th is a Thursday. What's the 18th? No, I think I know. Wouldn't you? Anybody help me out there? Hey, usually it's Thursday. Thursday the 18th. I'm going to be at Mulligan's Pub in Belden Village. It's up by Canton. It's a patriot event. It's a Republican patriot, whatever. Let's fight back event. And so I'll be there. And so anybody that's up that way can come. I saw Chad. You have a what was it? What does Chad have coming up this week? Does he have an event there in Texas? Can you go back, Spence? Go back and link. There it is. What's down at Salt and Light Brigades this weekend? Up Chad's, jump in that thing if you can. And we're still working on some other events. Freedom Ring, that's another event Saturday. Forgot all about that. This Saturday night, John Diamond and I will be at a little banquet at the Belmont Country Club in St. Clairsville. If you're in that area, you'd like to come to that. And then we kind of motor down a little bit during the Christmas season because it's hard to get people together. But if you're going next Saturday, St. Clairsville, Ohio, and I'm speaking also that same day in Westerville, Ohio. Believe it or not, two different events. I don't have that up there yet. And, of course, the one at Belden Village. Let's get beyond that, okay? Any questions, let me know. Jeff Klein, you want to say something? You got your hand up already.
Coach, I just wanted to say yesterday was good. The speakers were good. But I'll tell you the highlight of the whole time, and I just love it, is Michelle coming up there with Psalms 91 on top of that beat. I stood up there and looked over that crowd. Every head, you know how they talk when somebody's speaking? Every head was bowed and every eye was closed. Them people were focused in on her doing that. That was great. But I'd make sure she didn't fall off that band. She was right on the edge.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jeff. And thanks for pulling that thing together and all you did. Praise the Lord. It was really, really good. I want to show you a couple things here. Then I want to dive into something. Hey, Spencer, pull up Jason Whitlock. Jason Whitlock. Now, I don't know if I've heard anybody who Jason Whitlock, who's a used to be a sports commentator, now he's just kind of become a commentator. I don't know if I've ever heard a public commentator, a non-Christian. Well, he's a Christian. Jason Whitlock's a Christian. Mark Levin is not a Christian. But I've never heard a commentator make a more clear definition, explanation of what's going on than what Jason Whitlock made here. So much I thought we ought to all hear it this morning. Put it at about, I think you can stick it at 1.5 speed, maybe, Spencer. Maybe you can't. And I want you to listen to what, because everybody yells racism, right?
Clip I'm going to play from him.
So it's 5 minutes long, and I want you to listen to Jason Whitlock's, put it at about 1.5 if you can. And just listen to what Jason Whitlock says. Go ahead, go there. It's take us about 4 minutes, but it's worth it.
MSNBC, Michael Eric Dyson. And I'm going to play the whole thing through without interruption, and then I'm going to leave it to you to give me your thoughts. This is from last week as well, the election of Winsome Sears as a lieutenant governor in Virginia.
She's a black woman.
They want credit for breathing. They want credit for having lungs. They want credit for having hair in the morning or getting up and brushing their teeth. Look, I've made an achievement that should be noteworthy. No, you are doing what all political figures must do, make choices. The problem is here, they want white supremacy by ventriloquist effect. There is a black mouth moving, but a white idea through the running on the runway of the tongue of a figure who justifies and legitimates the white supremacist practices. We know that we can internalize in our own minds, in our own subconscious, in our own bodies, the very principles that are undoing us. So to have a black face speaking in behalf of a white supremacist legacy is nothing new. And it is to the chagrin of those of us who study race, that the white folk on the other side and the right wingers on the other side don't understand this is politics 101 and this is race, not even 101. What's beneath 101? It's the pre-K of race. Critical race theory, we know, comes from critical theory. The word critical in theory means let's be on the side of those who need to be emancipated for things that are imposed upon them that enslave them. That's all it means. And they've invented an entire a universe of meaning out of that one word.
Jason Whitlock, it's a lot to unravel. What do you see here?
Mark, I want to start by saying I really enjoyed your opening monologue. I think you framed this up well. I do want to take the conversation a little bit differently, though, in terms of I don't want to diminish racism. I don't want to diminish anti-Semitism. Those are real issues and real problems. But what we're really seeing here from Joy Reid, from Michael Eric Dyson, from Jonathan Capehart, this is Satanism. This is satanic. When there is an attack on truth, it's an attack on God. It's an attack on Jesus. The truth is what sets us free. The truth is what Jesus, God, faith are about. There is a massive attack on truth in this country. And that is an attack on God. Voltaire said it a long time ago. If you can convince a man of absurdities, you can then get him to commit to atrocities. I may have butchered that slightly, but we are being convinced of absurdities. And they're packaging and masking their hatred of God in this, oh, we're here to fix racism. And no, what you're really here to do is attack the truth and attack God and create a chaotic society that believes in absurdities so eventually they can execute atrocities on people. We're seeing small examples of it all across America. I don't know if I want to go as far as calling January 6th and how those people have been treated as an atrocity, but it's a sign of where we're headed. That was not an insurrection. Those people don't deserve to be locked up and chained in isolation in prison for months on trespassing charges. So we have been convinced of an absurdity that somehow this was an insurrection, the likes of which we haven't seen since Pearl Harbor. And now that justifies the atrocity of let's lock these people up for life. Let's keep them in solitary confinement. Let's deny them basic privileges and rights that we've always granted to Americans. That's the path we're on. And they're again, they're using race. Race and the Democratic Party are like the new hood of the KKK. Call yourself an anti-racist, call yourself a Democrat, and now you can do some of the most racist things while pretending and covering yourself with this hood of, hey, I'm a Democrat, hey, I'm a liberal. The things that I'm doing are actually good. Again, it's more we're being convinced of absurdities and we're witnessing the beginning of atrocities that will not stop with just how they're treating the people on January 6th. There are far worse atrocities that are being planned for all of us who profess a belief in Jesus Christ as our Savior, who profess a belief in God and the truth. There are atrocities they are planning for all of us.
All right, when we return, the clip I'm going to play.
They are planning atrocities for Christians, friends. I don't know how you make it any more clear than what we see is going on. Because we would admit this, would we not, that Christianity is in fact related to conservatism. I've barked about that a long time. I hate the term conservative. Conservative is nothing more than a mask for the term Christian, right? And so we look at where the war is coming from and where the war is taking place, and it is a war against Christians and Christianity. If anybody agrees with me, would you give me a thumbs up out there? Anybody agrees with me? And until we whittle it down and call it what it is, we're not going to understand what's going on. Not at all. Okay, so I want to go someplace. It's kind of bothered me all weekend. Let me get it up. Spencer, pull up the email. For those of you who missed it, let me give you a little background. We did a Flea Flicker Friday on, we call it what? Bible Answer Man. You ask a question, we answer. And Reggie brought up the question, those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. And Reggie said, what does that mean? And that led us into a discussion of the Jews. And of course, I was called anti-Semitic. Anti-Semitic because I even discussed it. Not allowed to even discuss it, right? And kind of kicked me back a little bit because that wasn't my intention. I thought this is, your 2 cents is always worth 2 cents here. And Reggie threw it on the table. And then I get accused of anti-Semitism, right? So listen, friends, that's no different than saying I'm racist. I'm racist. Oh, you're anti-Semite. You're a Jew hater. You hate blacks. You hate Jews. That's what I was accused of. I got this email after it was over, and I want to dive into something here a little bit because I'm going to tell you, I did some soul searching this weekend, and realized, could anybody out there for $432.27 write down right now or rattle off right now the 12 tribes of Israel? Could anybody do that? My wife could. Well, she got about 8 of them. Could anybody do that right now? Could you guys name those 12 tribes? And so I think we have a tremendous ignorance of Old Testament theology because we don't talk about it a whole lot in our churches anymore, and a real understanding of who the Jews were. So I think the question Reggie asked was legitimate. So I got this from I'll let this remain anonymous because heaven forbid you'd call her a anti-Semite as well. She says, good morning, brother. Your program, which asks the question, those who say they are Jews and are not, encourage me to write to you and give you information which will, I pray, help you and the others come to a better understanding of this scripture and the term Jew. Please consider the following information. The term Jew did not appear in the original scriptures. According to Benjamin H. Friedman, Jew did not appear in the Bible until the 18th century, in the year of our Lord, 1775. In Latin Vulgate, it appears as Ludaeus, as early as the 14th century. It's been translated through time to the word we now find in the King James Version and others as Jew. That brings me to the place to investigate further as to their origin of the word. Ludaeus, which the word Ludaeus, which I have been able to find, is the origin of Ludaeus in the Hebrew, and it refers to Israel. Got that? Ludaeus is not Jew, it's Israel. From this study, it appears to me that the term Jew appears in the Bible. From this study, it appears to me that wherever the term Jew appears in the Bible, unless it's referring to the direct descendants of Judah, it is referring to Israel. Since Israel belongs to Yahweh, we are his alone. He tells us we are grafted into Israel when we receive the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it makes sense to me that he is, in the above scripture, telling us that all those who claim citizenship in the kingdom of Israel, who are liars and are not true citizens of the kingdom. Just like somebody would say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Methodist. We know they're not. They're not Christians. You identify by your denomination. You could be a Christian. Your denomination doesn't make you a Christian. This is what the writer is saying here. Could it be that many who call themselves Christians but have not received the Holy Spirit are also liars and false Israelites? Larry talks about satanic social clubs all the time, people claiming the name of Christian and aren't. Could Jesus say today, those who say they are Christians and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan? Would that be a fair comparison? I think so. Are they of the synagogue of Satan? Are they deceivers in satanic social clubs? Somebody's been listening to you, Larry. Stay right there. Don't show who wrote it, please. No, stop right there. Going back throughout history, will show us that these false religions are not Yahweh's, but are in fact sun worshipers. They're descendants of the Babylonian mystery religion. They don't teach Yahweh's laws. In fact, they teach that they have all been done away with. Talking about churches today. They teach abortion, homosexuality, covetousness, and the breaking of all his laws. I wonder how long we will continue to refer to them as God's church. The river we swim in is very muddy. We must go back to clear, unadulterated source. May he help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Bless the name of Yahweh. Would it be fair to say that everybody that calls themselves Christians are not Christians? Would anybody disagree with that? Would anybody disagree with that? Can you call yourself a Christian and not really be one? Well, if you can call yourself a Christian and not really be one, can you call yourself a Jew and not really be one? Because wasn't that the point that Paul made? Those who claim they are Christians and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan? Those who say they are Jews, but they aren't really. They don't follow any of the rules or regulations. They were born that way. I heard a guy tell me one time he was born Methodist. Come on in, Paul Webb and Silver. I'm not done yet. I'm going to come on. I'm going to let these, I know they have something relevant to say. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, a lot of this, Coach, is, I know for myself, I called myself a Christian for many years because I wasn't a Buddhist, I wasn't a Muslim, I wasn't a Jew, I was a Christian. And so a lot of this is a cultural thing.
Amen.
That's happened here. And this is exactly, you know, the point I was trying to make Friday is that this is a cultural, a lot of this is a cultural thing.
A lot of Christianity is cultural, right, Paul?
Yeah.
Could a lot of Judaism be cultural?
Yes.
Amen. Sure could. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Silver, come on in.
Thank you, sir. This beautiful letter somehow has encapsulated what and where we should be headed. Okay, because we are of the house of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All of us.
All of us. And until we recognize, I mean, which tribe is irrelevant? I know which tribe I am, but the whatever tribe it is irrelevant to someone who doesn't know, but who does know the Lord. Okay? And like I said, check the gates out in Revelation. Ain't no Baptists, ain't no Catholics, or any of the rest of them.
Amen, amen. Silver. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, cool. Larry, come on in.
Yeah, you know, it's calling yourself a Christian and not being one, you might claim that that was a cultural thing, but it doesn't matter what the motivation for doing that is. The fact remains, if you're not a true member of God's family through relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, I don't care what reason you call yourself one, it makes no difference. You're still not one.
Still not one. Okay, good. Jeff Nell.
Yeah, I went to a soup kitchen. I met a man who I talked to him about the Methodist Church, and definitely the one that lives in my area. And I told him to do his research. Asked the lady minister about what she stands for. And when I saw him again, I asked him the questions, and he still believes from revealed religion to social religion. He's totally blank.
They don't get it, Jeff. That's my point. So let me walk you through something here, because I spent a lot of time this weekend uncovering for myself how stupid I was, if I can tell you the truth. And like I said to all of you, Michelle and I sat around on Saturday morning and asked ourselves a very simple question. What's the difference between the Talmud and the Torah? And I was amazed at my own ignorance. I was amazed at it. And so Michelle and I'm going to share with you what Michelle and I went to and brought some clarity to me, and I hope it brings some clarity to you. Spencer, click on ask any difference between Talmud and Torah. Do you guys know the difference? If I were to ask you, I'm not going to ask you to come in because I don't have the time. I would say most people in this queue have no idea the difference between Talmud and Torah. Okay, so let me read down through here real quick. The two most pivotal religious manuscripts of Jews are the Talmud and the Torah. However, it's easy to get befuddled between the two given the similarities in their names. But it's worth noting they play very different roles in a Jew's religious journey. With me, Silver? The difference between the Talmud and the Torah is that Talmud is an anthology of the oral Torah, whereas the Torah usually refers to the written Torah that was passed from generation to generation. In Jewish culture, it is said to understand one scripture, the other one must be read as well. In other words, the Torah, well, we're going to get to it. Another key difference is when Moses went to Mount Sinai, it is believed that he received two Torahs, one written and one oral. The oral Torah, which is known as the Talmud, was written down much later. According to Jewish tradition, Talmud plays a pivotal role in educating Jews about their culture and their roots, while the Torah is the written manuscript that consists of the five books of Moses. So let me make this clear to you. The Torah is the five written books of Moses. First five chapters of the Bible. Okay, stay right where you are there, Spencer. The Torah is the commentaries. It's the commentaries that Jewish scholars, rabbis have written over the years. And the Talmud talks about how you're supposed to live, yada, 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 while the Torah is, for the most part, the actual five books of the Bible. Punch me if I'm wrong, Silver. Punch me if I'm wrong.
I'm just going to clear you up. The Torah is the first five books of Scripture. Okay.
The Old Testament.
First five.
Right. First five books of the Old Testament.
Yeah, books. Okay.
Yes, that's the Torah, folks. Okay. Now, as a pair, they got here on this chart a comparison between the Talmud and the Torah. Raise your thumb if you didn't know this stuff. It's okay. I didn't either. The oral version, the Talmud is the oral version. The Torah is the written Torah, the first five books. The oral Torah is what the rabbis said about the five written books. Another name is the Babylonian Talmud or the Pentateuch. Babylon Talmud of discussions and lectures by rabbis over 400 years. Can I tell you the truth? That's what most of Judaism is out of. They follow that rather than the five books of Moses, the first five books of the Hebrew Bible. So the meaning, the instructions of learning was written, the Talmud was written in 1342. And the Torah was written in 1312, according to this. So what is the Talmud? The Talmud is also known as the Babylonian Talmud. It's a compilation of lectures and discussions between rabbis. In Jewish culture, rabbis are considered the most knowledgeable, insightful of their religion, just like in Christianity. We have pastors, bishops. The Talmud, for long, was passed on from generation to generation as verses describing the... It was a commentary on the Torah. Commentaries on the first five books of the Bible. Thus, this was thus originally known as the oral Torah until it was written down about 400 years ago. Talmud means instructions or learning, and it is one of the most important religious books in the Jewish tradition. The Talmud is a very profound collection of laws and literature that defines their religion, and it is written in form of short verses. It's commentaries on what the first five books of the Bible mean. There are two kinds of Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud and the older known as the Jerusalem Talmud. The Jerusalem Talmud is a detailed analysis of Mishnah over 200 years and is written down by the sages of academia in Galilee. The Babylonian Talmud was written over 300 years by the sages Rashi, Ravenna II, in Babylonia. And although both the Talmuds are results of detailed analysis of Mishnah, they both differ significantly. Why? Because it's not the five books of the Bible that the Torah is. So what's the Torah? The Torah is a collection of the five books, the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These books are considered to have been passed to Moses when he visited Mount Sinai. So we got the five books, original books of the Bible, the Torah, and the Talmud, which is the Bible commentaries written down by rabbis telling you what those first five chapters say. Some also believe those writings in Torah were dictated by God and written by Moses. However, the last eight verses differ in this scenario. They are deemed to have been written by Joshua because he talks about Moses. The Torah is translated to guide, to teach, to instruct, and break into the law. It was originally of two types, a written Torah and an oral. I already said that. It was written in the Torah. It was also alternately called the Pentateuch because it's a collection of the first five books of the Hebrew Bible. According to the scholars, the Torah was written 1312 BC. However, some scholars also believe blah, blah, blah. So what's the main differences between the Talmud and the Torah? Am I doing okay, Silver? The main difference between the Talmud and the Torah is that the Talmud is an anthology. It is a written commentary of what they think the oral Torah, usually written from generation to generation. This is what we would call that in America, doctrine. The Talmud is doctrine of the Torah. These are what we follow. The Talmud plays a pivotal role in educating Jews about their ethics, their culture, their roots, while the Torah is simply the written manuscript of those five. God, oh, this is, I couldn't believe I read this. Oh boy. Talmud for long was only passed on from generation to generation as verses describing the Torah, whereas the Torah was written by the sage Moses and dictated by God. Conclusion? Both the Talmud and the Torah are considered holy among the Jews. and their laws and guidelines are written down in every detail in the manuscripts combined. However, there are significant differences between the two that are worth noting. The main difference between the Talmud and the Torah is that the Talmud is a collection of oral Torah that contains small verses from the rabbis themselves, whereas the Torah refers written Torah that was passed from generation to generation. The Torah is translated to guide, to teach, to instruct, and later into law, whereas the Talmud means instructions or learning. So the Talmud for long was passed from one generation to another. They already said that. Torah is a collection of the five books, yada, yada, yada. All right. Let me open it up there a second. So most Jews, if I understand this right, in Judaism, their studies are in the Talmud, not the Torah. Okay? It would be like us studying not the Bible, but reading only Matthew Henry's commentary of the Bible. And having Matthew Henry's commentary of the Bible substitute for the actual Bible itself. That's the difference between Torah and Talmud. Come on in, Larry, I think you were first in. Go ahead.
Yeah, you just hit the nail on the head right there. Judaism, or whatever you want to call it, whatever you end up defining it in your mind, considers the Talmud as being holy, just as the Torah, they claim it's holy, but they kind of put a little more emphasis on the Talmud. And that's what denominations have done in the satanic social clubs. They have put more emphasis on the doctrines of men than they have the word of God. And people are going to the wrestling mat and fighting against and wrestling against truth and sending them straight to hell because they chose to believe a 6-foot popsicle feeding them lies from a satanic social club platform.
Alan Zeifer, come on in. So hang on, let me freeze you a second, Alan. Folks, please understand the point that we're making here. When Jesus said that not all Israel, or not all Jews, those who say they are Jews and are not, it's the same thing we would say today who people go to those satanic social clubs and call themselves Christians. We would say those who say they are Christians and are not. They're not Christians, and there's some Jews that aren't Jews. Oh, my goodness. Come on in, Alan.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Now, you know, the crazy thing about it, folks, I don't know if there's between 15 and 20 million Jews worldwide that claim to be Israelis, however you want to call it. Only 18% of those folks, 18% out of that 15 to 20 million folks believe in God. 18%. Less than 1% of the 18% believe in Jesus Christ as Lord. So that's the messianic. They call them the Messianic Jews. But I coached the other day because I wasn't on the show. I'd listen to it later. And here's the bottom line, folks. Abraham was a Babylonian. He was from Ur. That's Iraq. He's from Babylon. And God saw something in Abraham that he wanted to have the lineage of Christ to the cross. There was something there that he saw. But here's the bottom line. Once Jesus come up out of that tomb, it was finished. It doesn't matter if you're Jew, Greek, the tribe of Reuben.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if I'm from Italy or if I'm from Florida. Your lineage doesn't matter anymore. In Christ Jesus. In Jesus, there's no more anything. It's a level field at the cross. And all this conjecture and all this arguing, all this stuff, it means nothing when you're in Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Out of confusion.
Amen, Alan.
That's where the confusion at is for the folks that's not in Jesus, because it doesn't matter if you're an Arab, if you're an Italian, if you're a Jew, an Israeli, a Hebrew, whatever you want to call yourself, if you're in Christ, you're doomed.
Amen. Come on in, Reggie. Then Silver, then Diana.
I think it's awesome that you went and looked up the difference, Coach. I'm glad you did that. I was trying to find a paper I had researched about 11 years ago. I couldn't find it. But so your Jewish scholars, the ones, they agree. There's a lot of Jewish scholars that converted to Christianity, and then you have some old Jewish scholars, and they will actually tell you that the Talmud was written between the second and the sixth century. So it was written after Christ had already, you know, did everything. And it's based on Jewish mysticism. So that's why in Matthew 15, our Lord had warned against the oral law. And he said, by the traditions of your elders, you make void the word of God.
Because you teach as doctrines the traditions of men, making the word of God of none effect. Folks, how can it be any more clear than that?
Yeah.
How can it be? And they're still doing it.
When you read, I would suggest even go further and find out what the Talmud teaches. I'm not going to say it here because it's pretty blasphemous, but...
Okay, Silver.
And I was going to add to that, you know, we haven't even got into what Haftorah is, okay? Because when we read scriptures on Sabbath, we have the Torah portion, we have the Haftorah portion. What's that? That's generally from the prophets. That's the rest of the Old Testament, okay? And then we also have a section from the New Testament as well that ties everything together. It's amazing how this is working out. So
it's amazing how ignorant we are. That's what I think, Jeff.
That's for sure.
And people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, right? So Jesus said he was mad at the Pharisees and Sadducees. Why? Because you teach oral Talmud rather than the Torah. He says you teach his commandments, the doctrines of men. Oh, that's so clear. Diana. Need to unmute, Diana. Louie, okay. Come on in.
I have a presentation on this if you're interested in the link. In the presentation, I have some of the excerpts from the Talmud. One, it says it declares that agriculture is the lowest of all occupations. It states that Adam had sexual intercourse with all the animals in the Garden of Eden. When a grown-up man has intercourse with a little girl, it is nothing. A Jewish man is obligated to say the following prayer every day. Thank you, God, for not making me a Gentile, a woman, or a slave. And I don't know if you know how this ties into the seven Noahide laws that was signed into law in the United States in 1991 by George Bush. And that is going to, what they're hoping, to become the universal moral laws for the world. And that is in the presentation. I'm happy to put a link if you'd like.
Okay, put the link in there, and you just jumped on page 12, and I'm still on page 2, but it's okay. Go ahead, Luann. And then Randy.
I'm here. Yeah, that's why I don't always say that I'm a Christian. I am a child of God. There's a difference in that, because you have the Torah and the Talmud like that. Amen. Right? Torah is what I go by. Because that is the exact word of God.
We've been deceived to believe that all Jews believe the Old Testament. And I'm not sure that's true.
Exactly.
I'm not sure it's true. Randy, come on in.
Coach, let me read a scripture and it'll shed a little light on this. John 5:46-47. This is Jesus talking. He's talking to the Jews. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Mm. See, Coach, what we're pointing out here is the Torah, the five books, that's a good start. That's a good start. It's written. It's holy. It's all inspired by God. But you can't stop there. You have to see that it's all speaking of Jesus. So, Coach, any religion outside of Christ, and I'm sorry if this offends anybody, any religion outside of Christ is a synagogue of Satan, Coach. It is some other way trying to get in the kingdom, trying to come in outside of Jesus, and you can't do that. So that's I'm sorry about the Jews or Judaism or any other religion. It's not just them. Mm-hmm. Alan hit it on the head. He hit it right on the head, Coach. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. I am the only way to Yahweh. I am the only way.
So quit identifying yourself as Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Episcopalian. Stop doing that. It's no difference than what we're seeing here in the confusion in Judaism. Let's go to Alan Zeifer and then Rochelle.
Coach, I left out a minute ago about covenant. That's what we missed on Friday during all that stuff that's going on. Covenant. If we're not in covenant with Christ, we're doomed. That's it. That's where the rubber meets the road. If we're not in covenant, that was a key word we left out on Friday.
Amen. Thank you, Alan. Rochelle.
Hey, good morning, team.
I just wanted to, I was thinking that, you know, the Jews, generically speaking, especially the ones who were born in Israel.
They were Hebrews, by the way. They were all Hebrews to begin with.
Abraham was just a regular guy who got called out, right? Yep. But the thing is, since the time of Jesus, they have been, you can't even preach Jesus over in, when you go to Israel. You'll go to jail if you start speaking Jesus to someone under the age of 18. I mean, they want to lock you up. They don't really want to lock you up, but they don't want you preaching Jesus. He's the butt of every joke over there.
Michelle, let me stop you a second.
They're able to walk. They've been told that Jesus is not the Messiah.
That's right. They've never read the Christian. Hang on, Michelle. They've never read, most Jews, whatever that means, have never read the Christian Bible. They've never been taught and shown that Jesus is the coming Messiah. They've never been taught that. Go ahead, Michelle.
Exactly right. As a matter of fact, they are told, for example, if you read Daniel 12, I mean, you can be cursed for reading certain sections of their Tanakh. Of their own prophets, they're not allowed to read from, because it will lead to Jesus. Every single book in our Bible leads to Jesus.
Amen.
And the powers that be know this. That's why they aren't allowed to hear about Jesus at a young age. They're not allowed to read scriptures that showed them to him plainly. But I do think the Tanakh is amazing. And it the Tanakh is broken down. The T-A stands for the Torah. The N-A stands for Nevi'im, which is the prophets. And the K-H stands for the Kevotim, which is the writings. And their history is amazing. And every single story is a pattern to Jesus. So,
amen. Larry, come on in.
Yeah, Alan talked about covenant. I try to keep things simple. You know, KISS is one of my favorite things. Keep it simple. Knowing that the Savior, Jesus Christ, as being the Savior of the world, only applies to those who have accepted him as their Lord first. If you do not accept Jesus as your Lord and in control and leading your life, you can read the Bible as many times as you want to and claim Jesus as your Savior because he died on the cross, and you're deceiving yourself, because without making him your Lord, he is not your Savior. He could be.
Those who say they are Christians and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Gene, come on in. You're muted, Gene. You're muted.
Now,
by the way, hang on a second. No more commentaries after Gene. I want to change directions here real quick. Go ahead, Gene.
Thank you. I just want to go back to where we started on last Friday. I couldn't get into the website for some reason. I had to get on my phone. But anyway, it started out with Revelations chapter 2:9. It said, who is the synagogue of Satan? If you go to Revelations 3:9, he tells us that he's going to decide who the synagogue of Satan is, because in Revelation, he's talking to about seven churches, and he says five of them he's going to spew out of his mouth, and the other two, which is Philadelphia and Samaria, are the ones that he is bragging on. So I believe we need to sit down and determine what are those two churches teaching.
Amen. Revelation 3:9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not. So we could say today, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Christians and are not. Folks, listen, ain't nothing special about being Jewish. I'm sorry. I'm a messianic Catholic. I'm a messianic Melungeon. It's no different than someone saying they're a messianic Jew. It's like that has privilege to it. It doesn't. Paul said there is no Jew. There is no. He told us it's done away with. It's finished. That old system's finished, Randy.
Coach, Janine nailed it on Friday when she said, "You're now. This is the transition, Coach." This is Paul writing in after Christ is gone. This is the 40-year period from 30 to 70 when we get all the New Testament writings. This is Paul writing and saying, you are no longer a Jew who is one outwardly. Now you are a Jew inwardly. That's the transition time from Christ.
Amen.
So this is now Jesus is confirming what Paul is going to write or had written. And he said, if you're not a Jew inwardly now, you are not a true Jew. You are of the synagogue of Satan. We have to see that transition, Coach. If we teach anything else, and we do, there's so many theologies that still are putting the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, as God's chosen people, as God's special covenant people. And I'm sorry, Coach, I come out of that lie. I come out of that false teaching. I'm not a Jew hater. I love Jews, but you have to come into the kingdom through the front door. You can't come in the back door. No other way in.
That's right. No leg up for anybody.
And we have to be willing to hear this other side, or we will never, never change. We will always stay with something that may be false. We have to have a talk. We have to have dialogue on this. Amen.
Okay, so let me muddy the waters. Let me muddy the waters right now, okay? I don't know how many of you have heard of the Kabbalah. I've heard of the Kabbalah, but didn't really. Spencer, pull that up there for me. See, the Kabbalahism is another diversion or branch off of Judaism, okay? Now, folks, this was written in 2003 by the Slate. This was posted at the Slate, which is a lefty. This is a lefty website, Slate, all right? So it says, what is Kabbalah anyway? Because there are Kabbalah Jews. You want to talk to somebody about Kabbalah Jews, talk to Ted Brewer. He'll take you down a path you'll never get back from. It says, last week news broke that Madonna spent over $5 million for a London townhouse that will become a new center for the study of Kabbalah. This religious movement, long associated with Judaism, was little known until it became popular among celebrities. What is Kabbalah all about? Kabbalah comes from the Hebrew word meaning tradition or received knowledge. Kabbalists claim their beliefs date back to the origins of the Torah. All Jews believe the written traditions of God's word was accompanied by an oral tradition of equal sanctity, the Mishnah, which together with the written text constituted the Torah. We just went through that. Kabbalah also started as an oral tradition, and believers trace its origins back to the Torah and there to direct connection with God. This Kabbalist's oral tradition contend that God is perceived as 10 different potencies of forms of light known as sephirot. Because each one of these 10 sephirots has Hebrew characters associated with it, the Kabbalah provides a method for interpreting the hidden meaning of the scriptures, and Kabbalahism aims primarily to decrypt the Torah using these keys. Kabbalists believe that Torah is God itself and that an infinite store of wisdom can be uncovered by dint of scholarly research. Kabbalists have been an accepted part of Jewish culture since the 12th century. Through their mystic beliefs, which focus on the individual's direct communion with God through solitary study, sometimes set them apart from the mainstream co-religionists. Many Kabbalists were teachers and judges highly respected by all Jews. The emphasis on secret knowledge and mysticism have also long endeared the study of Kabbalah to occultists or other persuasions, kicking off a Kabbalist fad among Gentiles in Renaissance Europe. In fact, it gave us the word Kabbal. In the United States, Kabbalism made a comeback in the 60s when it was championed by Philip Berg, an American former rabbi who began studying Kabbalah on his visit to Israel in 1962. Under Berg's leadership, Kabbalah in America has greatly expanded, spawning senators around the country and recruiting celebrity faithfuls like Madonna, Monica Lewinsky, Berg's version of Kabbalah dispenses with the traditions requirements of an Orthodox lifestyle and the study of ancient texts, where traditional Kabbalah emphasized mysticism as a part of devoted Judaism. Berg's new movement focuses on personal improvement, spiritual happiness, targeted to all people of all faiths. Berg's center draw big crowds for meditation classes, philosophical study, and his Kabbalah Portal offers 101, a class that takes the once arcane wisdom of Kabbalah and offers it up as a user-friendly, accessible self-study program. How does this new Kabbalah stack up to the old? Like traditionists, Berg represents Kabbalah as a way to perceive the inherent order of the universe, the unseen spiritual laws that govern our lives. The difference is that he simplifies these lessons to make them easily accessible. Rather than requiring devotees to learn Hebrew, he publishes his interpretation of ancient Kabbalist texts nationally in books and speaking engagements. Traditional scholars of the field are careful not to slam the new centers too hard, but the experts do argue that Madonna's New Age spiritualism has little in common with traditional scholarly mysticism of the Jewish Kabbalah. So friends, we have now the Torah, we have the Talmud, and we have the Kabbalah. Is it any wonder why we're confused? And if I can make the comparison again, it's no different than denominationalism in Christianity. It's the same thing. Judaism was founded around the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. Then it became about what everybody said about the Torah. And now it's become even, they don't. So am I anti-Semitic? Am I anti-Semitic? I can tell you this. I'm more anti-Christian with phony Christians. That makes me a lot madder than Jews. Jews don't know the truth. They have an excuse. These phony Christians and some of these Mestitarians or Presbyterians or Methodists or Episcopal, are you kidding me? To me, they're far more offensive than a Jew who doesn't know the truth. Janine, come on in.
Amen.
Exactly. One of the things that the Bible says is they became their own gods. If you look up Romans 1:20 through 24, he's given them up to a reprobate mind. But the problem is that we don't understand. And I'm so glad you brought up the Kabbalah, because I just sent you an email. This doggone spell checker changed it though. But yes, the Kabbalah is what is going on. They don't hold up the Torah. It's the Talmud and the Kabbalah and they become Kabbalists. But anyway, if you read that, it's quite clear they've become their own gods, or we've become our own gods.
Folks, listen, how about doing this? Instead of listening to me, thank you, Janine, how about doing some research on your own? Can you do a Bing search? Can you do that like I just did? If you think I'm full of crap, Google it. Find out for yourself. I told you on Friday I didn't know any of this. Sad to say. Now, anti-Semitic because I simply went after the truth. Come on in, Reggie, then Silver.
Thank you, Coach. If Spencer wants to open up a chat, I can put an out-of-date, it's not even circulating anymore, but it was some of the many resources I used to go way back to do some research for my paper. But it was written in 1892, and it was written in St. Petersburg, and it's a book called The Talmud Unmasks the Secret Rabbinical Teachings Concerning Christians. And this was written in the 19th century, right before the Bolshevik Revolution.
Put it in there. I'd like to see it. Listen, hey, Fricks, hey, folks, unsaved Christians, unsaved Jews, unsaved Buddhists, unsaved Muslims, they all face the same fate. Do you understand that? Do you understand that an unsaved Jew is no closer to God than an unsaved Buddhist? Do you understand that, friends? Do we understand this?
Amen, Coach.
Yeah, and they're telling us, they have trained us that there's something special about the lineage of Judaism, And maybe there is, but not if they don't know the Messiah. Not if they've not received Jesus Christ as their Savior. How's that anti-Semitic? That's just telling the truth, man. Come on in, Silver. Help me out here.
All right, Coach. One of the clear things, I mean, that you just read, or that was that we went over there, they're talking about the 10 names of God or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know they specified 10. I said, wait a minute, what's that? There's 8. Okay. There's actually 8 in the Torah, names of God. Okay. And it goes with Jehovah Tsidkenu. Okay. Jehovah Makedesh.
Jireh.
Jehovah yep. Shalom. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Rophi. Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Rohi. Okay. And they all have specific names that deal with an attribute of God. So when Jesus was teaching us how to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He has 8 names. Okay. And they do that. Okay. But we didn't. So it's important to understand the names of God.
We've changed it, Joe. It's now our Father which art in heaven. Hollywood be thy name. That's what it's become. Hollywood be thy name. Come on in, Spence, and then Mark Trump.
Yeah, Coach, I was just going to say that I think the only thing that's special about the bloodline of Jews is they're still blessed based on the blessing of Abraham. That's why, you know, you see so many Jews that are financially well off, but that doesn't mean they're saved. But that's just my 2 cents.
Well, there isn't any blessing other than being saved, in my opinion. Come on in, Mark.
Yeah, I guess if you put anything before Jesus, you're not of Jesus. If you call yourself something besides Jesus's, then what are you if not Jesus's? You either are Jesus's or you are something else. Any other religion that you want to say, but I'm this, I like Jesus, but I'm this, no, you're that. You're holding on to that.
So, Mark, it's the same situation. It's like the hierarchy in the Catholic Church, right? Huh? It's that's no different than the hierarchy in the United the Southern
Jesus,
Baptist Convention. Right?
You're either Jesus or no one. You can call yourself a carpenter. You can call yourself a laborer, but you better be Jesus's. You know, Amen. It doesn't matter.
That's right. That's right. So, folks, no Messianic Jew. Sorry, doesn't do anything for me. I'm a Messianic Melungeon. It's just as important. RJ.
Yeah, Coach. Let's talk. Keep one thing in mind, that there's a purpose for the Pentateuch, for the 5 books of Moses. That was to point a chosen people at that time, Abraham's children, to the law, their sinfulness, their need for a Savior. And once that comes to light, we have those that are enlightened, that have the nature of Christ. Now we can look at another layer, which is, what is it when you read these other books of Scripture, such as Enoch, we have the ability to look back and see it with a different perspective, realizing yes. how lost they were and why God Amen. Had to bring the law.
Amen. Good point. Roger and Randy.
So that's something to keep in mind.
Real quick, Dave, isn't one of the books less than flattering about our Savior?
Kabbalah.
I'm sure I can remember reading with it, the Talmud or whatever, really is really attacking our Savior. Am I wrong with that?
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But again, it goes back to our ignorance of it, right? Our ignorance of it. Alan, then Randy.
Well, Dave, the question is real quick. Are we to remain silent if the Jewish community studies a book that's less than
Well, Roger, you're an anti-Semite if you question it. Just like being called a racist. It's no different, in my opinion. Go ahead, Alan, then Randy.
Coach, there's a little city down here where I live in Florida called Lacoochee, Florida. Mudcat Grant came from there, Janarian Grant. He was a big Rutgers star here recently, played for the Ravens. The two Hambrick brothers came from there, played for the Cowboys. And
anyway, hurry, I'm out of time. Get your point. I'm sorry.
So the thing is, there's 12 churches there in Lacoochee, Coach. So to sell dope in Lacoochee, you got to do it in front of a church. Like you said a while ago, you know, the thing about the Jews is they got scripture in Romans chapter 11 that God has spiritually blinded them. They can't see Jesus. But if you're an American and you ain't accepted Christ, you're doomed.
Amen. Randy, then Mark.
Quickly. I'll hang on to after the show, Coach.
Mark, go ahead. Come on in, Mark.
Yeah, I was going to hang on until afterwards, too. Just your heart is to learn and research and do stuff on your own. It's a big part of what today's show is. And you always like, it's like the COVID stuff.
That's right.
It's like the COVID stuff. You got to, you know, trust but verify. You know, back in college,
yep,
we always talk about the five books of the Bible being the books of Moses. They taught us that there were several different writers in the first five books, and they took all those and put them together. They talk about the J, E, P, and D documents. The J documents, people wrote them, referred to God as Jehovah. E was Elohim, P was the priest, and D was the book of Deuteronomy. And I told the professor, well, sometimes I call him Jesus, sometimes I call him Lord, sometimes I call him Christ, sometimes I call him Savior, sometimes I call him God. I'm the same guy. I'm not five different people. So as you do research, you have to be careful what you wander into, because you can find some false stuff out there also.
Amen. I'm anti-devil. That's what I am. I'm not I'm not racist. I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm anti-Satan. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.